This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler. Today we have got my friend Hillary coming on the podcast. She owns Meadow Forge Flower Farm. We have known each other, we've known of each other a long time, but we really connected honestly through Instagram flower farming friends. And I wanted to have her on because she lives in a pretty rural area. And I get people all the time that tell me, I can't have a successful flower farm because I live in the middle of nowhere, or my customers won't pay those prices. And I'm like, well, I think that's a self-limiting belief because I know a lot of people who do it. And so Hillary, can you introduce yourself and tell us about your farm?
Yes. Hello. Thanks for having me, Liz. My name is Hillary. I am a flower farmer down in Southwest Minnesota, about 10 miles from the Iowa border and about 90 miles from Sioux Falls. So we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. Nobody knows of the town, Lakefield, but kind of between Jackson and Worthington. So we, I've been doing this. I'm going into my third season of selling cut flowers. And honestly, you know, going back to like some of your phrases, Liz, of like throwing spaghetti and see what sticks, we kind of, that first season, it was like, I don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work, but my back's up against the wall and I have no choice. And like, let's do this. Like, let's just kind of see what people grab onto. And so we sold subscriptions. We decided kind of last minute, we wanted to offer UPIC for our farm. And I was nervous and anxious. I didn't really know how to operate that side of things. I have young kids and I didn't really want to be super hands-on with the UPIC, but like knowing I couldn't afford to pay somebody to run my UPIC. So we got kind of creative in that sense and really just figured out like a way to keep it hands-off for us as a family and then give people what they wanted. So they wanted access to the flowers. And it allowed like, so we ended up having a self-serve UPIC. So we don't have to be present for any of it. And it was the best thing we could have done for our farm.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that self-serve part, I think there's going to be a lot of people who their ears just perk up and listen. And, you know, we've talked about it a ton for a lot of reasons, and we'll get back to it later in the episode. Like for me personally, there's a lot of reasons I don't think it would work on my farm based on some of the stuff that I grow, some of the ways that I sell in a combination of what I already do. I'm not saying I couldn't make it work. It's just, I'd have to change other things. I couldn't do it with the offerings I currently have basically, but you did a really good job, I think, of training your customers right away. And I would assume, you know, especially entering year three, you're probably like, okay, at least they kind of know the drill now. Cause I'm sure like having, you know, I followed you on your social media page. If you go back to your posts from summer of 2021, it's a lot of like explaining how it works, the rules, and, you know, trying to teach people, but you did such a good job of that, that those customers, okay, now they finally know the drill, and then they tell their friends how it works. And then it just works out well. And obviously, like, you know, this, you needed a special kind of insurance to be able to do that. You couldn't just, you know, let these people, and it's a trusting thing, but you have an awesome property to be doing it. It's kind of separate from where your house is. You've got trees that sort of separate the picking area, right?
Yes.
So the way your farm is set up, it really works well for this self-serve UPIC. So tell us how those work, the timing of it, like just if we were going to go to Meadow Forge Flower Farm in the summer, how does it work?
Yeah. So UPIC is definitely like our biggest source of revenue. We have relied heavily on that. Again, knowing that I'm not able to be, you know, making all of the bouquets. I don't have the hours. I don't have the ability to be handling every single stem in every bouquet that leaves our property. And so knowing that, we kind of went into it with like, okay, people are going to be mostly available on Fridays through Sundays for doing something like this. We're basically open 8 to 8, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got a little parking area for people and basically just a ton of signage to kind of keep people corralled and keep people out of the rest of our property. Thankfully, we've got kind of two separate areas. So we have of our property where, you know, my family and I and my kids can kind of be in one area. And then people that are, you know, picking flowers and that kind of thing can be in a totally separate area to kind of do their thing. And, you know, occasionally they hear giggles and see kids running around, but that's just life here. So people have gotten used to that and it's all good. But yeah, so we basically open 8 to 8 Friday through Sunday. And then we've got a stand out there with vases and they have water in them. We've got snips.
Do you have signs with the instructions on it or do you just post?
Yeah,
that
so we just, media? Yeah, we've got a sign out there in the farm stand where we keep all the vases and snips. That kind of just a super basic rundown of how to do it, explaining our pricing, and it's super straightforward pricing, whatever you can fit in a vase, yours to take home. We really don't run into much with issues of people taking home more than what fits in their vase or damaging the plants or, you know, stealing things or vandalization or anything like that. We do have a couple cameras out there just to kind of keep track of vases and so we can see if we need to go restock vases or anything like that. But yeah, for the most part, it has just been so great. I think we've been amazed at how much people enjoy, you know, in our demographic. Lakefield's a town of 1,700 people. And so, you know, we get people from the surrounding cities, we'll get people from a couple hours away coming down to come to our UPICs on the weekends. And we've always been amazed at just how much people enjoy being outside and using their hands and getting dirty and just enjoying nature and the connection that they can make with the land and the people that they came with. And, you know, sometimes you get the people who come to just have a morning to themselves and escape whatever their reality is or whatever. But oftentimes you get, you know, mother daughters or couples or a mom and their kids or whatever it might be. So it's fun to see.
How do you adjust the products that you sell or the types of flowers that you grow based on your demographic, based on your customers, price point, all that stuff?
You know, you're not going to sell your most prized flowers for $30 as much as somebody can stuff in a vase, right? We've definitely configured this mix of flowers that not only make a nice bouquet, but are cut and come again. So flowers that, you know, once somebody cuts off of it, it shoots up a new sprout and somebody can cut off of it again in 2-3 weeks, you know, from that same stem or whatever. And just with the goal being that we're not creating empty space out in the meadow. Now we do, of course, grow like pro cut sunflowers, and those of course are single cut and one and done. We keep those around the outside of the, like in the very back rows so that, you know, they're not an eyesore to people and don't really have to walk around them to get to other flowers that they want to go pick. But yeah, I think, you know, we don't grow any Lisianthus yet. We don't get too crazy with some of like the really delicate or fragile flowers. We don't have a high tunnel or anything like that for protecting some of those more fragile ones. It's just pretty like straight up, if you can kind of make it out here in like the southwestern Minnesota area where the wind is pretty crazy, then you get to stay at the farm kind of thing. Like I don't really try to grow anything too fancy. We do grow dahlias, zinnias, you know, the snapdragons. We do trellis, but definitely try to keep it to cut and come again and things that are pretty solid when it comes to the wind.
Well, and I think the way you do your dahlias. So my dahlias, I started selling to florists. My subscriptions are, you know, $30 a week for XYZ stems. My customers know that they only get a couple dahlias in their UPICs, and really just, I mean, those premium dahlia stems, I'm selling them to the florist for $4 a stem because that's what they would pay, at least that for the wholesaler. And so, you know, I want a whole row of boom, boom white dahlias because Taylor from Wild Time Floral will buy buckets and buckets of them every week while they're blooming for every single wedding because she'll use them. You and I have talked a lot about just trying to be mindful of that. And you grow a lot of your dahlias from seed, right?
As many of us know, like growing dahlias, it's expensive to start out. Like your tuber is going to be anywhere from $8 to $28 a piece, you know, depending on what variety it is. And so I did my very first year, we did start out with, I think like a mixed bag of something we got, I don't know where it was from, but, and then after that, you know, as I learned more and I dove into some of those more high-end dahlias, some of the more delicate ones, the cafes, and really, you know, so part of what we do sell to florists, and a lot of those like cafes end up going to the florists for their weddings and that kind of thing. Cafes were never intended to be something that had a huge or a super great vase life or anything like that. It's a stunner, right? It's like you get a day or two out of it and it's like in its total prime. And beyond that, you pull it out of the vase. Like it doesn't do anything for the bouquet. And so
yeah, I have about 300 tubers that I just checked on them. They're doing awesome. I'm going to sell all but like 20 of them this spring. Like and my customers, they mostly get it and they're pretty, but there's always one or two that are like, oh, it didn't last very long. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
They only last a day or two. I mean, my subscriptions, I do like over 100 subscriptions a week and I try to make them all symmetry. So I grow less varieties and just a high volume of them because it just makes, if I had all these random things and everything, if every bouquet was different, oh my gosh, that would make the process so much longer. So I just, you know, there's seven ingredients, like, or whatever it ends up being. Like I can't grow things. And yeah, the cafe au lait dahlias. Okay. That's rows and rows of them. And then you got to think about what else is in that bouquet where they're going to, you know, last longer. So my question to you, and maybe this is a loaded question, but like my subscriptions compared to my U-picks, I feel like, you know, my customers, they know, they understand. I'm like the subscriptions and the ones that we pick, like we pick them either super early in the morning or super late in the evening when it's not hot out. We let them rest in the cooler. Like I warn them, you know, and we process the leaves so that there's no bacteria in the cup. And, you know, when they're picking them, like that's my biggest, probably self-limiting fear is like, what if they judge the vase life of these U-picks on, you know, how it always is or something like that? Like, does that ever, like, has it ever come up? Or is that just something that like is in my head, in my imagination?
Oh, totally. I feel like, you know, there's definitely the people who have come back and a handful of them who have come back and said, okay, my flowers didn't last very long. Like, what did I do wrong? Or
you picked them at 2 in the afternoon and shoved them all in a cup without taking off the stem. That's what you did.
Exactly. And I do try to make my way out there. You know, if there's a handful of people here or whatever, I definitely try to make my way out there and just say, hey guys, how's it going? You know, mind if I give you a few quick tips on, you know, picking and arranging and that kind of thing? I'd love to, you know, I see you guys are having a blast. Don't want to interrupt, but just want to make a couple suggestions if you don't mind. And people are always so grateful for it. And, you know, it's those little things that I think keep them coming back, but we also get the people who kind of have an idea of what they're doing and whether they write a review or whether they, you know, share something on their social media about flowers that they picked or whatever. We always hear, flower farmers always hear this, that their flowers last so long because they're not flying over oceans and countries to get here.
Not 5 days old.
And so, right. And so I think, you know, the more you can put out there and tell people, okay, strip the stems, okay, cut them, you know, every few days and get them some fresh water. Those are little things that we probably don't even, it's second nature to us by this point. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even really think a whole lot about it, but people who don't work with flowers every day don't necessarily realize those things. So I do try to put little tidbits out here and there, just kind of informing people of little tips and tricks. So.
Yeah. I have my subscriptions and I think last year, my summer, it was a 10-week summer and I had like 110, I think it was 110 subscriptions. It was maybe 20 on Monday, 50 on Wednesday and 40 on Friday or something like that. And then we would do our stem bars for every Monday at the farm. And we would usually sell like 30 to 50 people would come then. And you didn't have to sign up ahead of time for those. subscriptions were obviously pre-sold in the off season. Did my nursing home sponsorships on like Monday or Tuesday. And then the U-picks were on Saturday. And I sold tickets. So my U-picks, I've kind of taken a way total opposite approach from the self-serve. So mine are, you have to buy your ticket ahead of time. And if you bring someone with you, they have to buy a watching ticket for $5. And it definitely turns a ton of people off for that reason, but it also gets people to keep coming back, and it serves a different clientele. And I charge $35 for a cup, and then it's $5 to watch it, but it keeps the experience very calm and quiet. And because of where I'm at, if I had it wide open, like, and didn't charge to come, you know, if every single, and I cap it at 60. So if every one of those moms brought 3 kids and a friend, like, I could have 250 people running around in my yard and still only sell 50 bouquets. And then people would not come back again because it was chaos. And so right. I feel like I need to cap mine a little bit, and it makes it a little more like, oh, the tickets are dwindling. Like, they start buying it. So I don't know. It's just a totally different approach to serve the customer base that we have.
Yeah.
Taking a quick break from this episode to ask a very, very tiny favor of you. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit pause and go and give us a 5-star rating. If you feel compelled or inclined to write a review, that would be so appreciated. But honestly, the rating is all we're asking right now. Podcasts get recommended to people based on downloads and keywords and ratings. And if lots of people are listening and rating it high, then the platforms try to find more people that they think will also like it. So it's a really simple and easy thing for you to do, but it really does mean so much to us. So please consider hitting pause, giving it a 5-star rating, and then coming back and finishing this episode. Thank you.
So I think one thing that I have always admired about you, and as we've gotten to know each other, and I would say we're definitely like, we run things by each other. We feed off of each other pretty well. We both have, we have different strengths in different ways, but we have the same way of being or getting there. And we can be honest with each other. And it's just, I really have obviously enjoyed learning from each other, but I think I really admire the way you have avoided like shiny object syndrome. You're like, yeah, I would love to have a tunnel of ranunculus, but I don't know that my customers are going to pay $3 a stem, and it's a lot of work. Whereas you can throw some zinnias in the ground and in May and not worry about anything until the 1st of May versus all the hours that, by May 1st, I've put a lot of hours into my flower farm, you know, you start your seed trays or, you know, whatever it might be. But I mean, the number of hours that I've put in by the time you're getting started is way different, you know? So it's just, you've done a really good job of tailoring your farm and your product to meet your customer base and still be profitable. And just like, nope, I don't need to do what other people on Instagram are doing, or I don't need to, you know, and you do a wonderful job of catering to that experience because you're training your customers to buy the product that you want to sell. You want to sell U-picks because you don't want to do subscriptions. Whereas I don't know, I sleep better at night knowing that my flowers are pre-sold and I hire a lot of help to make the subscriptions.
It's funny you say a lot of this because that's the difference between me and you though too. Like, you have like a significant amount more energy than I do. I feel like I'm like, I don't know how Liz does this all the time. Like, she's just like the Energizer Bunny.
Like, I hire a lot of help. I outsource a lot of things. Like,
yeah.
Yes, I work really hard, but anyway.
And I'm very much so like somebody who, like, I'm very cyclical. Like, I can work hard for a short period of time. And then beyond that, I'm like, mom duties. Like, I'm going to sit this one out. So, you know, with us getting started in May with tulips. And honestly, last year we gave it a go and people loved the tulips and they were so excited for them. And we sold out so, so, so quickly. It was amazing. And I had no idea that was going to happen. But I think, you know, people don't just have overnight success either though. Like, it wasn't just like you got lucky, Liz, or I got lucky. I think you and I both put the time in very different ways. And I think like we both work really hard behind the scenes to like make it all happen. And it's the marketing and it's the time spent not only marketing our own businesses, but like also supporting other businesses in town.
If my customer is a business owner, I'm going there.
Exactly.
Like, oh, you own the deli in town? Okay. Like, we'll go eat there because that's awesome. Yeah. Like, my subscription holders. Oh, that was the best part about quitting my nurse practitioner job and being able to be here. Like, I hated, it happened all the time, especially because I grew so quickly. My business did. I always say I had crock pot or I had microwave growth, not crock pot growth. And everything tastes better in the crock pot than the microwave.
Yeah.
I had microwave growth. So like I'd go somewhere and someone would say hi and I'd like very obviously not know them. And they'd be like, so I'm a subscription holder. I'm like, oh God, you come to my farm and I don't know who you are. And then they'd say their name and I'd be like, oh, your email is this and you're a Wednesday person. Yeah. But I feel bad because when I was at the clinic, like I would make the bouquets the night before or I had help here, but it's like now I can, you know, and they know I'm busy. I wave the very first week of tulip subscriptions or spring subscriptions, because I do a couple different ones. But the very first week of spring subscriptions and the very first week of summer subscriptions, like they're exhausting, but they're my favorite days of the year. Like Brent's like, what are you doing all day? I'm like, I'm just going to say hi to people. Like, and I know they're in a hurry, but I'm like, I'm just going to make sure to say hi. And he's like, that sounds terrible. Cause he's so he's like, you're just going to make small talk for 5 minutes with 50 people. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like I want to say hi. I want to say how it fits. Cause I remember them and I get to know them and like, they're part of the family. And truly like we've built a, you know, once they start, they don't leave. So I'm finding this hard balance of like, which customers, or I think last year I started the UPix for the first time last year. And a lot of my subscription holders are like, oh, I had FOMO, like fear. Like I wanted to be at the UPix. And so I'm trying to like, maybe one or two times throughout the summer, maybe they can substitute, like, you know, as long as they let me know a week ahead of time, like, hey, instead of picking up my bouquet on Tuesday, I'm going to come on Saturday, you know, or whatever it might be.
Great idea. Yeah. But
that's also like an administrative nightmare because there's 100 people that I got to keep track of. And honestly, at that point, my business philosophy would be like, okay, just trust them. Just trust them. Don't like, you know, just sure. Okay. You came once or, you know, like the administration behind the scenes of keeping track of when 100 people came. But my thing would be like, I'm not going to email you. I'm not going to message you back. Like you're in charge of that. And my subscription holders, they know, like I will make exceptions, but for the most part, like I'm not reminding you, I'm not going to see who didn't pick up. Like, and it's again, a lot of that, like establishing the rules for your customer base.
But that's why they get, you know, the beauty of subscriptions, which we do subscriptions a couple days a week. So the beauty of subscriptions is they're pre-sold. They are low maintenance, right? Like we're not, hey, what time are you coming to pick up your thing again? What colors are you thinking?
Yeah. And so once they know, like they're just.
Yes. There's so little time involved with actually like communicating with the customer on a, you know, one-on-one basis about their flowers and the pickup and all that. Mm-hmm. That's why they also get a really great bouquet for an extra reasonable price. Yes. Like
walk into the floral shop or grocery store. I will not be that person that bashes imported flowers because I buy wholesale sometimes. Like I would say, you know, it's kind of like the 80-20 rule, like moderation. Like I appreciate the wholesale flowers and I think they're pretty and whatever, but I will say like, see what $30 gets you at the grocery store or at whatever. So another thing that I've always been so proud of you is like you set your prices right away. Like you charged what you charged immediately. And I did not. I was $15 for two bouquets. The second one got sent to a nursing home. It was $7.50 a bouquet is what I sold them for. And I had to just like gradually increase my prices. And then people got mad. And people are passive aggressive. And like, I've been told by so many people, like, well, I started buying from you. And where I live, if you head, you know, to the east or the south, it's a very different customer base and price point that they're willing to pay than if you go to the west or the north. Like, it's just a lot more rural and different. And it's not that they're even, I mean, it's $30, but again, it's, I'd rather make 50 $30 bouquets than 75 $20 bouquets. It's way less work for the same amount of money. And just being more intentional, and then that's less customers that you have to touch base with and whatever. And again, you have to just, you can't serve everyone. But my customers would say, or my former customers would say, like, you raised your prices. Your flowers used to be $15. And I go, I'm selling a different product now. I used to sell, and because my flowers have changed with it. I mean, yes, I was undercharging, but my flowers have changed significantly. I didn't grow Lisianthus or Ranunculus or as many tulips, or, you know, just even the quality of the flowers and learning what we're doing and keeping them in the cooler. And just, I mean, the product is so different. Like, I, you know, I cringe when I look at pictures of those first years of the subscriptions. I'm like, what was I doing?
But that's like, I love that you own that though. And it's only been uphill from there. Like, we all have to start somewhere. And I love that you obviously, like, you have grown so much from that first year. And I have too, like, with, you know, I look at some of my first bouquets, cause like, I'm here to grow the flowers, and if I can put them together in an arrangement, okay. Like,
yeah,
we'll do our best, you know, like, yeah. And you look back at some of that stuff and you're like, I can't believe I grew this. And it's beautiful to me. Like, I grew it. I was like, I've got blood, sweat, and tears invested here, a little sweat equity. And, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, you see pictures of those first bouquets from like 3 years ago and you're like, oh my gosh, what is that?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Take that picture down.
Yeah. So,
and I think it's fun for customers to like see that process and see that change. And I don't know, like, people keep asking me, like, are you worried? Is the market saturated? Stuff like that. And like, I'm not. I know that you and I are both in it for the long haul. I know that, you know, the other thing is, I think 75% of all flowers in the United States are imported. Like, there is room. I don't think that there's room for everyone to do it the exact same marketing and business plan that I have or that you have, or, you know, there's only so many retail at that price point. You know, if I was growing on a smaller, you know, if I could only grow on, like, if I was limited because I lived in town, you know, and I have a half an acre property or not even, you know, I would do like, I'd do something totally different. I'd be like, I only do $100 bouquets. I would do big, beautiful, because then you only have to find so many customers. And you can focus on the really good value stems, like tons of dahlias, tons of Lisianthus. And then guess what? Because if you had $15 bouquets, now you have to go find how many customers. Like, I don't know. I always describe flowers and flower farming like food. I'm like, are you a restaurant? Are you a grocery store? Are you a food truck?
Yeah.
Do you have sushi? Do you have steak? And they're all just they're entirely different products to an entirely different market. And flower farming can be that.
Absolutely. I think even where I live, they're popping up much more frequently, everybody with a little bit different spin on things. And, you know, what it comes down to in a small area, less populated area, going into it, my whole thing was like, okay, who am I going to sell to? And what do people around here have the money to buy? Like, so you got to test it a little bit too, to kind of figure it out.
It's a fluid thing. You're always going to adjust.
Yeah.
You're never going to have the perfect product, the perfect price. Like, you have to read your audience. You have to look at your profitability. You have to run those state, you know, you have to keep track of it.
Yeah. You have to keep track of it. And you, at the end of the day, you have to see what works for you and see what works for your customers. Like, not everything that works for my customers works for me, and not everything that, you know, the people who want all the custom bouquets or, you know, I have a very limited number of subscriptions I do because I know the amount of manpower I'm willing to give. I'm not willing to give an ounce more of that when it comes to making subscriptions because it stresses me out. I stay up late doing it. I've got, you know, kids crying up in bed or whatever. Like, I know what I'm willing to offer, and I set my limits. I dial that in very well to know that how many hours I'm willing to give on that front. You know, that first year, there was a lot of, yes, 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 I'll do it, whatever. Yep, absolutely. The second year, I did not have a hard time saying no to things. Like it was, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday today. Do you think you could whip up a bouquet today? And it's like, you know, thank you so much for reaching out. It's not going to work out today. Our flowers are spoken for, or I'm booked for today, or whatever, like whatever it is that reasoning behind your decision. But it also feels really good sometimes to say no and to not be a yes man for like every little thing, because you will absolutely burn yourself out. And knowing what that is, like what your limits are, is huge. So like definitely figured that out in year two. And granted, like had a baby in July of last summer, so that was like a little thing that happened. But so we relied even more heavily on like the U-picks and just prayed that it would all work out how it was supposed to. And I mean, it was insane. Like the people that showed up, you know, one day we had a cop car show up and I was like, oh my gosh, somebody called us in. Like what happened? He like met his wife and his kids out here to like go pick flowers. Well, you know, he had a 15-minute break or something. And it was like, okay, that's cool. But like, it's, I don't know. It's just, we love looking out and seeing people here and knowing that we can be in our pajamas and eating breakfast and doing family time on the weekends.
Well, and that's like,
so that's been great.
Very first lesson in like my Petaling Perishable Products course, we go through and we talk about revenue goals. And it's like, you got to decide how much money, if you're going to have this business, because you really can, like, you can work as hard as you want and you can get rewarded for your hard work. You got to be smart about it, but you got to be intentional about it. You also could work 50 hours a week and not make hardly any money and burn yourself out. But you can get to the point where you're pretty intentional about your time. And honestly, hiring help to the point where it's like, yeah, okay, if I hire two people to help make all these bouquets, like, again, do the math, figure it all out. But you got to figure out, like, well, what is your goal? How much is enough?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to end up working way too much. Like you said, burnout. Like, because what, there is no ceiling. Like, entrepreneurship is a weird, weird thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm learning to say no, but I think I'm really excited. I've shared this with you. Like, I'm now, for this year, I bought like a clock in, clock out, right, for my employees. Mm-hmm. And they have to write down at the end of the day, like what their hours were. They have to assign it to something. So either it's like G for general, everything, or if they were, you know, I'm going to say like if they were picking weeds, if they were weed whipping, if they were whatever. And me too. Like, I mean, I still put in the most hours in my entire farm, right? And but maybe I'm not outside doing some of those jobs. I'm doing more focusing on, there are things that only I can do and, you know, whatever. But, you know, working on the business instead of in the business at this point. But I'm still working in the business. Trust me, I'm still getting my hands dirty. I'm still picking flowers. I'm still making bouquets. But I want to have them assign hours to what they're doing. Like, is it picking for subscriptions and arranging subscriptions? Is it setting up for stem bars? Is it, I'm really curious about the U-pick stuff, because we definitely would not have to have our yard looking so pretty if it wasn't for the U-picks, if we didn't have a customer facing. I mean, I would still want it to look nice, but like, there's a lot that goes into it, or, you know, whatever it might be. It's not just the 3 hours that you're there in the morning. And so I want to figure out what is the most profitable, you know? So if it's general, then it gets divided up by every single product. It's equally like the five things. Otherwise, if it's, you know, setting up for stem bars or setting up for whatever it might be, I just want to find out what is the most profitable, because you know, you can diversify pretty good. Like, you could say, well, you're not diverse, you're selling flowers. Well, I'm selling U-picks, I'm selling stem bars, I'm selling subscriptions. And what I found out is my products compete with my products. People are like, honestly, it's to the point now where my customers are like, well, I really want a subscription, so they're not going to come to the stem bars. They really want the U-pick, so they're not going to buy a subscription. So I'm working on like a little algorithm thing on my website. Like, are you outdoorsy? Are you crafty? Or do you just like pretty things? Like, some people like, you know, stem bars, they arrange their own out of the pre-picked flowers, but they're not really like trudging in the, in the dirt
Yes.
themselves and picking their own, but they'd
Yeah.
like to pick their own, or maybe they just want to come and hang out and like I pre-make one or I make it for them or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
A friend to make it for them. I don't know. It's just fun to like constantly read your audience and yeah.
Totally. Totally. And I think we've definitely noticed, like, in our different offerings, like, I think my first year I offered like a bouquet, build a bouquet class or whatever. Nobody bit. Like, I had nobody even question about it. Nobody, like, so it would have been like a private, you know, like one night during the week or whatever, like a Thursday night, you and your six girlfriends would come out and pick and have your own private you pick, crickets. And like, and I would help you arrange or show you how to arrange or whatever, crickets. And it was like, okay, that's really telling to me. Like, people kind of just want to come out here. From what I gather, people kind of want to just come out here, do their own thing, not be bothered. They don't want to know if they're doing it right or wrong. They just want to have fun with their girls. And then we find that, like, they come back out and want to outdo themselves from the last time they were here. Like,
I have
oh,
one
this one's
gal.
way
She comes
better.
every Saturday morning to the U-Picks, and she's like, "Ah, oh," like she missed one last summer, and she was so mad. She's like, "Ah, oh, I missed one."
Yeah. And I honestly think people like, and every month on the farm, the flowers are different from the next.
Exactly.
Like, and
Every week
that's,
there's something a little
yes.
bit different, like a different color,
Yes.
type of flower blooming, and that's what's fun about the seasonality. And like, they just get to enjoy them. Like, I did do a 5 week subscription too, because honestly, budget, right? Like a 10 week subscription, that's expensive. That's $300. So I did a 5 week toward the end of the summer when I knew I would have a lot more flowers. Well, then some of those people are like, "Well, are we still gonna get Lysianthus?" I'm like, I don't know, not those kind, not the romance. Like they bloom late July, early August. Sorry, like I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, that's
Yeah.
it. You know, the tulips or the ranunculus or the, you know, I'm like, sorry, you gotta just, yeah, just come back every week. I don't know.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
different or this. And that's what I love about like my cooler. Like I have such a huge walk-in cooler. So like the way my tulips for the subscriptions this week, like I'm not gonna put out 10 different colors of tulips for the stem bars. I might only put out three. And then because they can last a long time in the cooler. And like, oh, this week they're this color, and you have two colors to choose from. But next week, you know, just keep that demand. I don't know. There's so many little things like
It's
you and I talk
yeah.
about it all the time. Like I love the business part of it. I love the like, you know, just figuring out like what do you want. And I think, you know, my customers are
Yeah.
so funny. Like some of my subscription holders, and I'm like, give me more feedback, and they're like, it's good. I'm like, no, tell me what I suck at. Like, I can take it. And they're like, this is so, I'm so confrontational. Like, I'm so direct. I'm like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Tell me what I need to do, you know? And then
Yeah.
whatever. And they're like, well, I guess, you know, it'd be nice if this instead. And I'm like, okay, I gotta change it right away. I'm like, no, like maybe that was just one opinion. Like, I gotta just
Yeah.
read it. But it's fun to me. I don't know. It's weird. It's so weird. But like, I'm always trying to like step up my game. And I think that's what like other flower farmers popping up. I'm like, yeah, bring it on. Let's go. Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
not a competition. Like, there is room for everyone. But like, I don't think my customers are going to leave me for another flower farmer unless they leave me because they're cheaper, or they're a different price point or something. But then they'll probably leave that person for the person that's cheaper. Like,
Exactly.
if that's what's
And
attracting them or.
at this rate, people are going to keep popping up and coming out of the woodworks
Yep.
doing growing flowers. They're not doing what we're doing necessarily, but they're growing flowers. And honestly, what it comes down to, the ones that are going to survive are the ones that have a market, right? They have developed their market. It doesn't, like we said, it doesn't just happen overnight. It's something that you definitely need to seek out. You definitely need to be invested
Muscle,
in
gotta
these
work it.
people. You do. Yeah. And then, you know, figure out what they're willing to pay and grow accordingly. You know, I would love, like we talked, I would love to grow even more beautiful flowers than we already do,
and you have beautiful
different
flowers.
Types
Don't
and kinds.
Not that you,
but,
you know.
Well, no, but I'm saying like the super premium. Like we grow great flowers, but like yeah, we don't break our backs to get like all the types and kinds that are fragile and need extra support and extra love and assistance and the perfect environment and that kind of thing. Like we've got 40 mile an hour winds pretty frequently here. If you can't stay upright, like you don't belong on the farm here.
And yeah, we're that's not just windy here in central Minnesota. Like I'm right on the edge of where there's a lot of trees, right? But my meadow is out in the open, but still like we don't get the big winds. Although there was that one storm that blew a building on top of my truck. But anyway, if you weren't here for that, you'll just have to go back to like May 12th, 2021 on my Instagram. Go back on my reels there. You'll know what I'm talking about. A building landed on my brand new antique truck. So that was cool. Anyway, little archives. Now people are going to really, they're going to find some interesting
stuff.
Dig deep. Back that far. Eek. Anyway, so like I won't grow Lysianthus besides in my tunnel. Like I just won't do it. Like I won't grow them outside because they can get flattened like a canopy so easily. And they're expensive. Those plugs are expensive. Like I have to sell the majority of those stems. Like I paid how much per little seedling? Like it just... And they're worth it. And my customers know that and they pay it and I can sell them to florists. I can sell them, you know, I can put two or three of them in my subscriptions, but you know, and they bring up the value of my bouquets. Sometimes when I have extras, I'll bring them down to the U-picks because they're not included in the U-pick section. And I'll just say like, hey, I had a couple extra buckets in the cooler at the end of the week. Yeah, they'd probably last until next week and I could put them in Monday subscriptions, but like, let's keep the U-pickers happy. The U-pickers can take a couple Lysianthus. You know, I try to like include them there, but sometimes it's like, no, that's not included or whatever it might be.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of, you know, being an early bird at U-picks. And, you know, we say that like that Friday morning before, you know, the gates open, I go out and take pictures of the pretty dahlias that are out there. Mm-hmm. And like, there's only a handful of them. Like we talk, you know, we do a bunch from tuber. So we of course know what those are going to look like, but we also do a bunch from seedling and you never know what you're going to get with those, of course. So they're very unique variety and there's some wonky ones out there, man. Like you just never know what you're going to get. And so it's so fun to go out there before the U-picks start and show them off, like take pictures, put them on social, show people what's growing out there. And from one day to the next, you know, it's always different. And so you get the people that are looking for the jackpot when they come to the U-picks, because some people load up on the cafes. And if that makes your heart happy, that makes my heart happy. Like that's all that matters to me. Like I am here to,
I had someone come last summer and all she picked was greenery. Like some of them were weeds. I'm like, that is frosted explosion. Weed. For me on my farm, that's a weed, but that's crabgrass. That's blooming crabgrass. We actually, after we were done with all the bupleurum, because that's one and done, like we had that bupleurum in stock, was in a row, like right when you walked up on our U-pick area. It's just dumb, right? Like, why would I put that there? Anyway, very much planning out what goes where based on what the customer first sees. Well, we kind of just let like the weeds take it over and we called it our native grasses section. And oh my God. Love that. They're like, oh yes, no, just organic feeling. I'm like, yes, yes, it is. Which, yeah, it is. That is the definition of organic right there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No pesticides here. Like, had so much fun.
Love it.
Like, Lindsay and I would just, yes, that is our native grasses section. It's so pretty. I'm gonna cut them, and you know, but they are like they can be very beautiful, like fillers and stuff. But
yeah,
beauty is in the eye of the beholder for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, even some of the leaves that like people leave on their flowers, and I'm just sitting there like, please take that off. Please take that off.
Like the sunflower leaves or something. Like
yeah, giant. Yeah, love it. If that makes you happy, it makes me happy. That's what, honestly, that we've talked, like, that's the goal. That's, I just want people to leave happier than they came. I want people to you know, foster relationships and good times and make memories and spend time with their families. And if that means you're picking weeds and calling them flowers, so be it. Like, that's what we're here for. And that's what matters most to me. And that's what fills my cup. Like, this is, that's 50, 60% of why I do this. Like, obviously I do it to make a living. Obviously I do it for my own personal, like, I love being outdoors and I love having my hands in the dirt, but so much of what I do is for my customers that keep coming back and they take the pictures and they make the memories. And that's such a huge part of it for me.
Exactly. Like, I just, yeah, I love, especially people who've been here a few years. Like, there's one, I have one customer, like, she stands in front of the same spot of the mural every year. She has her daughter stand there and she's like, oh, well, just every year when we come back, I'm like, oh, like, I don't know.
Love it.
Little family. Okay. So tell us, I will put this all in the episode links, but like, what is your social media page? Where can we find you? Where can, you know,
website is meadowforge.co. We update there with all our dates for U-picks and that kind of thing. Instagram is Meadow Forge Flower Farm, I believe. And Facebook would be Meadow Forge Flower Farm.
I'll put it in the notes. They'll find it.
Yeah. Great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast, and have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast. I'm your host, Liz. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and rate us. You can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow. Subscribe to our email newsletter at sunnymarymeadow.com. And if you have questions or comments or anything to say, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@sunnymarymeadow.com.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com.